This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Late last month, packages containing printer equipment filled with explosives were intercepted in Britain and Dubai. The bombs had been mailed in Yemen and addressed to Chicago. They were found thanks to tips from the Saudi Arabian government, and their detection has led to close scrutiny of the international cargo industry. New cargo security rules were issued Monday by the Department of Homeland Security. All cargo from Yemen and Somalia is now banned in the U.S. and Britain. So are certain types of printer equipment. But these aren't the first rules to try to tighten cargo security.
And so now cargo will have this on it, screened, safe to place upon those planes. It is a huge moment in security.
That's Massachusetts Congressman Ed Markey speaking on the House floor in 2007. Markey has made cargo security one of his priorities since September 11, 2001. And when the 9/11 Commission recommended the screening of all packages and passenger planes, Markey brought legislation requiring just that. Congressman Ed Markey joins us now to discuss cargo security in light of the most recent bomb threat. Congressman Markey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Congressman, you sponsored that law that requires package screening on passenger planes, but these packages, of course, were found on cargo planes.
Mm-hmm.
When you worked on this legislation in 2007, were cargo planes part of the conversation?
Well, actually, as early as 2004, when I was working on the cargo screening provision for passenger planes, I also included cargo carriers under the 100% screening requirement, but due to intense opposition from the cargo industry and the Bush administration, I was forced to drop all cargo aircraft from coverage under the mandate to get the requirement approved for passenger planes. I always planned to return to the issue to add cargo carriers. That was impossible in 2007. And the Yemen incident underscores the urgency of closing this loophole. And as a result, my legislation, once again, is on the front burner for political consideration.
If you had cargo planes on your radar as early as 2004, as you said, does that mean you weren't particularly surprised to hear what happened with these packages sent from Yemen recently?
Well, in Boston, on 9/11, we had Mohammed Atta and the other nine who were looking for the easiest way to use aviation as a terrorist weapon. And because of that, I asked to be placed upon the Homeland Security Committee, and my objective was to shut down any aperture which existed in aviation, since Al-Qaeda makes it very clear that it is at the top of the terrorist target list. And cargo planes are an obvious way in which they can be used to terrorize our country with explosives. And so I thought that right from the beginning, it was pretty clear that at one point or another, cargo planes would be a threat.
So these new rules, as I mentioned, they ban all cargo from Yemen and Somalia, and they prohibit toner and ink cartridges that weigh more than a pound from passenger flights. You said just yesterday, I believe, that you think these rules are a step forward, but also that more needs to be done. Where do you think the rules fall short?
Well, I do believe the rules are a constructive step forward, but in addition, more needs to be done, including screening of all cargo on cargo planes so that Al-Qaeda can't use this security weakness to strike at our country.
Is the airline industry capable of screening all cargo right now?
The airline industry can screen all cargo. It's not a question of technological capacity. It's a question of political will on the part of our government that insists that they do so. Initially, they said that it was impossible to screen all passengers going onto passenger planes. Then they said it was impossible to screen all cargo going on to passenger planes. Now they're saying it's impossible to screen all cargo going on to cargo planes. The technology exists. We know Al-Qaeda is going to exploit this opening. Al-Qaeda has warned us. The only question now is whether or not we are going to heed the warning.
So, in fact, you called those Yemeni bombs a warning. These were bombs that it appears were intended to explode and take down airplanes. So do you consider it a warning in the sense that we need to know that? Do you mean that a literal warning, that they could have taken them down but didn't? Or do you just mean to say we now, for whatever reason, we're fortunate not to have had them explode and we need to act quickly?
No, I mean we received a warning in that we were very fortunate that the Saudi Arabian intelligence was able to detect this plot in an early enough stage that it was thwarted. And that is a warning that we can either heed or not. But I do believe that if they could execute an attack successfully now, they would do so. And we now have a choice of putting into place the preventative measures or waiting for them to find the aperture through which they will strike us.
You mentioned that in 2004 you had wanted to include cargo screening in your legislation, but the cargo industry fought quite a bit. Did they fight it simply because it was going to be a great expense and another administrative burden?
That is correct. The cargo industry fights it because they say it will add a cost to do business. But the same thing is basically said by the aviation industry, by the nuclear industry, by the chemical industry. Each industry that we know Al-Qaeda wants to attack say that it's too expensive to protect against the attack. But once the attack occurs, and if it is successful, it will look like it is a penny on a dollar that could have been spent in order to avoid that dollar of loss that will occur to American industry if they are ever successful.
If all cargo has to be screened eventually, do you think that the cost of that should be borne just by the shipping business, or do you think that government has some role or even can afford the role of shouldering some of that cost?
I think it's a cost of doing business in a modern international world of commerce with Al-Qaeda out there ready to terrorize the free world. And I believe that we either can spend the money up front or we can, have an entire economy be harmed. So, for example, after the successful attack that emanated from Logan Airport in 2001, air traffic at Logan Airport went down 27% over the next 2 years. That was a catastrophic injury to our economy. And other airports across the country also suffered great losses as well. We were at the top of the list. So that's a great choice for us as a nation, and I believe these industries that benefit from the free enterprise system should be willing to make the investment in order to make sure it is protected against terrorist attack.
Do you know how much cargo the airline industry is screening right now?
With regard to cargo on cargo planes, they screen a very small percentage of the totality of the cargo, very small.
And when you said on cargo planes, do you mean opposed to checked bags on a passenger plane?
Opposed to passenger planes.
Okay.
On passenger planes, pursuant to my 2007 law, they now screen on domestic planes 100% of cargo. On passenger planes that are flying in from overseas, they are inspecting a higher and higher percentage of cargo placed upon those planes, but the Obama administration has extended by another 2 years or more the deadline for a 100% screening of cargo on passenger planes. But on cargo planes, we're almost nowhere. It's a very small percentage.
So this new ban, as we've been talking about, it prohibits toner and ink cartridges that weigh more than 1 pound from passenger flights. Now, as you certainly know, when it comes to airline security, the government is often accused of being too reactive. Richard Reid tries to blow up his shoes. Now passengers have to take off their shoes before they board a plane. Someone else tried to blow up a plane with an explosive and a liquid. Now we can't bring certain amounts of liquid on a plane. And oftentimes these bans always come after there was a near attempt. So people think that these security measures always seem like they're coming one step behind. Do you feel like that's another case of this, and it's just going to be what will the next thing that an explosive gets tucked into?
Yes, I do. I believe that we should just accept the reality that we have to screen 100% of cargo, whether it's on a passenger plane or it's on a cargo plane. We shouldn't try to do it by country. We shouldn't try to do it by device that they might insert the bomb material such as toner, we should just accept the fact that they are going to find, they're going to try to find a way of exploiting any vulnerability which is left in the system, and we should just accept the responsibility of ensuring that 100% of all cargo is screened.
In this recent case of the packages mailed from Yemen, as I said, it was, as I said in my introduction, it was Saudi Arabian intelligence, basically, that tipped off mm-hmm. Britain and U.S. So you say, as you've said clearly, you think 100% of cargo needs to be screened. But why not also invest more resources in intelligence gathering? Do we also need more of that?
We do need more intelligence gathering. We need a defense in depth, and obviously intelligence gathering is part of it. You know, in A Streetcar Named Desire, Tennessee Williams had a character, Blanche DuBois, who was said to be dependent upon the kindness of strangers. Here, we have been dependent upon, thankfully, Saudi Arabia to provide this information to us. It's clear that that's an important part of the totality of the intelligence network that we are dependent upon, but we should just take it one step further and just say that no cargo on any kind of a plane is coming into the United States unless it is screened. That's our best protection if any intelligence system ultimately fails.
What about cargo on boats? Because certainly shipping is where most likely the vast majority of cargo comes through. Do you think we have the same concerns with shipping cargo?
Yes, we do. In the 2007 law, my language was adopted, which requires for the screening for nuclear materials in cargo on ships coming into the United States. Again, there, the Obama administration has delayed implementation of the screening requirements for nuclear weapons on cargo ships coming into our country. I do believe that's a mistake, and I believe that, again, what happened in Yemen is another warning that they are going to try to find a way of bringing bomb material into our country. The sad thing about a nuclear weapon on a ship is that they don't have to take it off the ship. Once it is in the port and docked, if it is detonated on the ship, the catastrophic event will become the most memorable moment on American soil in its history.
Two more quick questions about security. Number one, do you know how long this ban will stay in effect in terms of how long we won't accept cargo from Yemen and Somalia? Is it indefinite?
I do not know what the deadline is. In my opinion, it should be indefinite until there is a guaranteed system to make sure that no cargo is coming from Yemen or Somalia or any other country.
Well, and in terms
that is not 100% screened.
And as you mentioned, any other country. So of all the countries that we fear could pose a terrorist threat, why is Somalia just added at this point along with Yemen?
I think the heavy concentration of Al-Qaeda in Somalia is why they added Somalia to the list, but it doesn't explain why they didn't add Pakistan as well and other countries where Al-Qaeda is now heavily concentrated as well.
Congressman Ed Markey, thank you very much for talking to us about this.
No, glad to talk to you. Thank you.
Ed Markey is a Democratic congressman from Massachusetts. He was talking about new cargo screening rules that have gone into effect in the United States and in Britain. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. If you have comments about our show, you can send them to radioboston@wbur.org. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.